sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
Today on the show, we'll be discussing the falsely justified by 9/11 global war on terror in Syria, and in particular, the White Helmets, now of Oscar-winning fame for a short documentary award given at the Oscars on February 26th. Are the White Helmets really this great humanitarian organization, rescuing Syrian civilians, or are they something much more sinister? Let's take a look. First, if you've been paying attention, you know that Al-Qaeda and now ISIS were created and supported by the U.S. and several of their allies. First to fight the Russians in Afghanistan in the 80s, then they were used in the breakup of the former Yugoslavia, then they were in places in Africa, including Libya, and now Syria. Al-Qaeda supposedly attacked us on 9/11. But the evidence doesn't support that claim. But that propaganda was useful in starting the global war on terror, allowing the U.S. and its allies to invade, destroy, and occupy several countries in the Middle East. The plans to attack these countries were revealed right after 9/11 and reported to us by General Wesley Clark.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who used to work for me, and one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you gotta come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, No. He says, "We've made the decision we're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, No. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office, today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
General Wesley Clark revealed this when he was on a book tour in 2007. So these wars in the Middle East were pre-planned, at least as early as September 2001. Have you ever heard General Wesley Clark's revelations on the corporate media? More accurately described, I think, as the fake media? I haven't. Another important point in all of this is to understand that many NGOs are actually being funded by foundations and have become compromised or co-opted to do the bidding of the U.S. government and its allies. And that brings us to the White Helmets. According to investigative journalist Rick Sterling, in an article posted on the great Canadian website globalresearch.ca, he says, quote, "The White Helmets are a feel-good story, like a Disney hero movie, 90% myth and fabrication. Most of what is claimed about the Syrian rescue group is untrue. They are not primarily Syrian. The group was initiated by British military contractor James Lemessurier and has been heavily funded by the USA, UK, and other governments. Most of the heavy funding goes to marketing, which is run by the Syrian campaign based in New York. The manager is an Irish-American woman, Anna Nolan, who has never been to Syria. When Eastern Aleppo was finally freed from the armed militants, it was discovered that the White Helmets' headquarters were alongside the headquarters of the Al-Qaeda Syrian militant group. Civilians from East Aleppo reported that the White Helmets primarily responded when the militants were attacked. Soon after departing Aleppo in government-supplied buses, the White Helmets showed up in the mountains above Damascus, where they allied with terrorist groups in poisoning, then shutting off the water source for 5 million people in Damascus. The White Helmets' claim to be neutral and independent is another lie. They only work in areas controlled by the rebel groups, primarily Nusra and Al-Qaeda. Their leaders actively call for U.S. and NATO intervention in Syria. The movie is as fraudulent as the group it tries to heroize. This raises the question regarding the integrity of the Oscar Academy Awards. Are awards given for actual quality, authenticity, skill, and passion? Or are Oscar awards sometimes given under political and financial influence? There is political motivation to promote the White Helmets as part of the effort to prevent the collapse of the Western Israeli Gulf campaign to overthrow the Syrian government. And now you'll hear a video on the White Helmets created by HandsOffSyriaSydney.com.
The White Helmets, also known as Syrian Civil Defense, claim to be an impartial non-government organization campaigning for Syrians. But despite the name, the White Helmets was not created by Syrians, nor does it serve Syria. Meet James Lemessurier, a consultant for the UK Foreign and Commonwealth Office and former British Army officer. So what is a non-Syrian British foreign policy consultant doing establishing a NGO in a foreign country? Does James really have the Syrian people's best interests at heart? If so, why do the White Helmets operate solely in terrorist-held areas? Why has the White Helmets constantly called for the implementation of a NATO-imposed no-fly zone? The same kind of no-fly zone that has destroyed Libya for decades. A no-fly zone in Syria would only benefit those who seek regime change and ultimately hurt the Syrians who are already targeted by illegal sanctions. The fact is, the White Helmets are nothing but a propaganda tool for the US and UK administrations to justify military action against the Syrian government. But the White Helmets insist on being impartial and unarmed. Here's where it gets interesting. Meet Raad Saleh. He currently leads the White Helmets inside Syria. He was set to accept an award from Interaction, an alliance of international aid agencies, but was refused entry into the US due to his visa being cancelled for unknown reasons. 27th of April 2016, US Deputy Spokesperson Mark Toner was confronted by journalist Matt Lee about the White House's inconsistency regarding the White Helmets.
You commend this group, you're going to continue to support them, and yet you revoked the visa of their leader? I don't, that makes zero sense to me.
What's
exactly...
And then when asked who funded and supported the White Helmets, Mark replies...
Well, I can tell you that we provide through USAID about $23 million in assistance to them.
$23 million. Wait a second. Are the White Helmets not, and I quote, fiercely independent and accepts no money from governments? So we have seen a group who is clearly not Syrian, not impartial and not independent, who are armed and are most certainly sectarian. The White Helmets. An NGO? Or simply Al-Qaeda with a facelift?
And now we'll hear from Canadian journalist Eva Bartlett in an interview she did with Sean Stone.
In terms of the demonization of the Syrian army and government, this is all part of the process of trying to convince the Western public to back Western administrations in supporting groups like the White Helmets, which pretend to be Syrian rescuers, but which have received over $20 million from the U.S., $20 million from the U.K., and $60 million together from various EU states. And what they're essentially doing, these White Helmets, and I really want to stress this point because it's part of the overall scheme of propaganda and demonization. They're White Helmets by day and terrorists by night. You see many of these people that are dressed in their pristine white outfits and white helmets that pretend to be rescuing civilians in other instances, you see the same characters holding their weapons and posing as rebels. These are, have been well documented by various authors, including my colleague Vanessa Bailey. And this is the scandalous hypocrisy of the West. Not only has the West been funding and training and arming terrorists to go into Syria and to behead and slaughter Syrian civilians, but now the West wants to award the White Helmets with the Nobel Peace Prize. And this, again, is a group of terrorists that operates solely in terrorist districts of Idlib and eastern Aleppo. And they are, have been known to pose with the dead bodies of Syrian soldiers. They are not neutral. They are not impartial. But they are surely a tool of propaganda and regime change. So back to the bigger picture. The bigger picture is not about Syrian security. Because if it was, then the West and the Gulf, well, let's just stick with the West, would have to respect the fact that the Syrian people have chosen their government. Even if they want political change in the future, right now they want the current government they have. They want security. They want an end to the West and Gulf and Israel and Turkey sending terrorists in to murder them. They want stability. They want an end of the sanctions that is suffocating them. And they don't want Western intervention. And they, above all, do not want a no-fly zone. And if you watch corporate media now, you'll see that this is what the White Helmets are calling for. This is what so-called unarmed civilians, unnamed activists in eastern Aleppo are calling for. And we've seen what a no-fly zone does to countries. When they no-fly zoned Libya, it was the beginning of the end of Libya, and Syrians do not want that.
And now we'll hear a clip from Russia Today with journalists Lizzie Phelan and Vanessa Bailey. It starts out at the Oscars.
White Helmets.
Thank you to the White Helmets.
Sadly, Raed Salah, the head of the White Helmets, is not able to join us tonight.
Well, they came into the spotlight during the siege of Aleppo when they were operating in the rebel-held part of the city. Many do view them as heroes, putting themselves on the line to save lives. However, the documentary does ignore some concerns about how the White Helmets operate after their reputation came under fire for a number of incidents. Well, our correspondent in Syria, Lizzie Phelan, gave us her reaction to the documentary's Oscar and told us how people in the city of Aleppo view the White Helmets.
The White Helmets receiving this Oscar really is just the pinnacle of the love and adoration that they have been receiving now for some time by the Western media industry and politicians. Of course, they have been, before producing this documentary, they've been producing videos of the rescue operations that the Western media have lapped up almost without question. And those videos have been funded to the tune of millions by Western governments, including the American, the British, and the French governments. But there's been many very serious allegations leveled at the White Helmets about some of their activities. And that main allegation is that the White Helmets, rather than being a benign humanitarian organization, are in fact almost exclusively a support service for extremist organizations that have been fighting against the Syrian government, including one of the most extreme organizations in Syria, the Fatah al-Sham Front, formerly named the al-Nusra Front and linked to al-Qaeda. There have been many photos and videos circulating online of the White Helmets members alongside these extremist groups. I was in Aleppo during the most intense fighting there as the army was battling to retake the city from the opposition. At the time, the White Helmets were releasing several videos, apparently, of their rescue operations. So I decided to speak to some of the thousands of civilians who were fleeing at the time from rebel-held territory to ask them if they knew who the White Helmets were, what their impressions of them were. And frankly, I spoke to many, many people, and not one of them gave me a positive impression of the organization.
You ever see in Fardus men with white helmets? They're called the White Helmets or the civil defense, helping people when they were injured.
When they came to help the injured, they stole from them. If people were wearing jewelry, they cut it off. All of them are thieves.
This man accused the organization of intentionally killing his little girl.
I took her to the civil defense hospital, and they gave her an injection filled with air to kill her.
They don't help people. They only work when there is a camera on them, and when the camera is gone, they leave. They abandon people under the rubble. They told us to pull the bodies out by ourselves.
So very, very serious allegations there, along with the many other negative claims that have been made over the white helmets over a course of some time now. And quite shocking that none of these allegations have been investigated by the white helmets. White Helmets backers, and now not only have they been allowed to be nominated for an Oscar, but they've actually gone on to win this very prestigious award without any investigation of these allegations.
There's a feeling there. Well, here are some more examples of the controversy surrounding the group. Members of the White Helmets being spotted at executions, for example, carried out by jihadists. The group was also caught producing fake reports too, like this one, in which it claimed that Russian jets had killed civilians. It turned out that the photograph was taken before Russian warplanes began flying in Syria. The White Helmets' credibility was more heavily scrutinised too after it staged a so-called mannequin challenge, faking the rescue of a person from rubble. We also discussed the White Helmets Oscar with Vanessa Bealey, an independent researcher and journalist. She was sceptical about why the documentary was even nominated for the Academy Award.
They should be congratulated maybe on their acting skills rather than their humanitarian skills. We were asking the civilians what they knew of the White Helmets. Most of the civilians didn't have a clue who we were talking about. When we then expanded on the theme and we mentioned that they were civil defence, then almost immediately the response was, you mean Nusra Front's civil defence.
Well, the leader of the White Helmets and one of the documentary's cinematographers weren't able to attend the Oscars ceremony. The media, though, was quick to blame President Trump's temporary travel ban for that. However, the group had a very different explanation. In an official statement, the White Helmets say that there's simply too much work to do in Syria, and the cameraman couldn't attend the award ceremony as the Syrian government has cancelled his passport.
And now you're going to hear three journalists speaking about the White Helmets on the RT show called Crosstalk, hosted by Peter Lavelle. The first one is independent investigative journalist Vanessa Bealey.
I had a very interesting 4 weeks in Syria, including some time spent in West Aleppo. Let's have a look, first of all, at the concept of the White Helmets. They claim that they are they're an NGO. They're not funded by any governments, particularly by governments that have a vested interest in the conflict in Syria. That's the number one lie. They receive probably in the region of conservatively $100 million. Primary funder is the UK Foreign Office, followed by the United States via USAID, which we know from their history to be very much connected to deep state in America and an outreach agent for CIA infiltration into target nations. So that's the first black mark against the White Helmets. What you're definitely seeing is very much what happened in Iraq, is the stealth eradication of the Syrian state and the Syrian state institutions. And the White Helmets are a huge part of this. If we look again at the funding, conservatively 100 million going into an organization of 3,000 operatives. Actually, just to go back to what Ava said as well about Kafra and Fua, these so-called neutral, impartial operatives funded by the U.S. coalition fundamentally that is has a heavily vested interest in regime change in Syria. During the Madaya crisis, or the manufactured Madaya crisis, they were seen holding up banners calling for the devastation and destruction of Kafra and Fur, the two Idlib villages that Ava just mentioned. But very quickly, it's very important at this point to point out their role in shadow state building by intelligence, British intelligence, and by US intelligence. There is an existing Syria civil defense. It was created in 1953. It was a founder member of the ICDO, the International Civil Defense Organization. And just to give you a very brief update on what happened yesterday, we discovered yesterday that the ICDO website link to the Syrian Arab Republic Syria civil defense had been infiltrated, let's say, and the link was in fact linking to the White Helmets website. Now, that wasn't like that about a week ago. So after various emails and phone calls to the ICDO, I managed to speak to them this morning. And in fact, the person that I spoke to appeared to be horrified. He said it was an administration mistake. And they admitted to me that the white helmets are not recognized by the ICDO. They're not recognized by the UN as a civil defense organization. The only recognized organization inside Syria is the Syria Civil Defense, the real Syria Civil Defense. So not only are the white helmets questionable on their funding and on their independence, and they're trained in Turkey, not in Syria. They're embedded in Nusra Front and ISIS-held areas and various other brigades of terrorists under various names. They're also now proven to be attempting to usurp the existence of the real Syria Civil Defense. And through the testimony of the real Syria Civil Defense that I spoke to, the crews in various governorates in Syria, they not only usurped them, they killed them when they took over the centers, the real Syria Civil Defense centers in Deir ez-Zor, in Raqqa, in Idlib, in East Aleppo, and they stole their equipment. There are numerous videos out there of them participating in the capture of civilians, in the beating, in the torture of civilians. Their operatives have been known to post to their social media sites videos of the torture and the public execution of prisoners of war, Syrian Arab Army soldiers. We were told that that one particular operative was sacked, but no official statement was made by this humanitarian NGO to condemn a public execution and torture of prisoners of war, which contravenes every single Geneva Convention that exists on the rules of war. And there was a further execution of a civilian in Aleppo, which was filmed, where basically the white helmets came in as a mop-up operation. You know, and then add to that the testimony from the real Syria Civil Defense. We're not just seeing an outreach organization for the States and the UK. We're seeing an organization that's embedded in terrorist areas and is supporting and facilitating terrorist activity. And if you look at what the UK government is creating, along with the Free Syria Police, taxpayers' money is going heavily into the creation of this shadow state in Syria. And this shadow state in Syria is destroying the existing state institutions in order to secure its own existence.
And next you'll hear Patrick Henningsen, journalist, writer, and founder of the website 21stCenturyWire.com.
There has to be a level of skepticism in journalism and the media, because clearly you're not going to get it from government. That's for certain. Our government has proven time and time again that it's willing to go to any depth. It's willing to lie, cheat, to deceive the public. This is proven fact. This is history, okay? And they've proven that. So where's the fourth estate? Where's the media? There has to be a level of skepticism in looking at these images and saying, what exactly are we looking here? And, you know, having worked in first aid, having, you know, being certified International Red Cross person in the past for work, I've done first aid. I've had to use backboards for spinal injuries. You never see any of this in any of their videos. It's just man holding child over the shoulder and then the dramatic well-lit picture. And some of these videos, you can look at them and any normal person who's in video editing will see it's heavily edited for the money shot, and also that it's unauthentic completely. You could say that it's fake or staged in many cases. We posted these online for people to look at, and most people are saying, agreeing, yes, some of these are staged. So even if a few of them are fake, and these are being used to influence public perception, to get the public behind regime change or behind an escalation of war by the United States and its coalition, then this is a big problem. Then there's a level of deception going on here. And then to parlay that into a Nobel Peace Prize is just on another level. I think if they do win the Nobel Peace Prize, it'll be the end of the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Because there's so much evidence out there. There's so much visual forensic evidence that point to this being a group that is not exactly what it's being sold as.
And now here's independent investigative journalist Eva Bartlett.
Almost no Syrian that I met knew of the white helmets. The only people that were aware were people that had some sort of interest in media and the media scams and the shams that are going on. So if you ask the average Syrian, including in Aleppo, I should note, and including doctors in the Aleppo Medical Association, they aren't aware of the white helmets. So clearly this is not an organization that's representing the Syrian people. I think there's an interesting note, too. You know, the UN Security Council passed the resolution 2253 and then 24 hours later 2254. Essentially, 2253 was about cutting the funding and support and training of terrorists, yeah. And 2254 was more focused on a political solution, which the Western nations have taken to use as a way of regime-changing Syria. But 2253 is essential. Before there can be any peace in Syria, 2253, the ending of funding of terrorists, must end. And this actually applies to the White Helmets. You have to stop funding these propagandists who are also, in many instances, as my colleagues have said, holding weapons and participating in acts of violence against Syrian civilians.
So you've just heard from several different independent investigative journalists who have actually been in Syria discuss the White Helmets. The short documentary about them, called The White Helmets, just won an Oscar. The propaganda comes at us from many different sources. If these journalists are correct, and the White Helmets really are working with Al-Qaeda in Syria, and I have no reason to doubt them, then that would mean that the U.S., U.K., and other Western countries are now funding and supporting the terrorists who supposedly did 9/11. So in a sense, Al-Qaeda just won an Oscar. And in case you think I'm crazy when I say that the U.S. is funding the terrorists in Syria, Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard recently traveled to Syria with former Congressman Dennis Kucinich, and she reported that the Syrians say there is no difference between Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, or ISIS. They're all the same. And in December of 2016, Tulsi Gabbard introduced a bill in Congress called the Stop Arming Terrorists Act, which is designed to prevent the U.S. government from providing direct assistance to terrorist groups or groups that directly or indirectly support the terrorists. The bill is H.R. 608, so please call your congressman and ask him or her to support H.R. 608, the Stop Arming Terrorists Act. And for more information about this bill, they have a website which is HR608.info. So HR608.info. And finally today, there's a group called Hands Off Syria Coalition, and their website is HandsOffSyriaCoalition.net. And this is what they are organizing. Quote, "We call on all peace-loving people throughout the world to unite and take action during the International Days of Action, March 11th through the 19th, against U.S. intervention in Syria and throughout the Middle East, against Islamophobia, and against the refugee travel ban." So if you want to learn more about these International Days of Action, you can go to their website, which is handsoffsyriacoalition.net, and you can get yourself on their mailing list there as well. And now some information about my shows. 9/11 Wake Up Call shows are archived at the website radioforall.net. And that's the digit four, so radioforall.net. And once on the site, click on Contributors in the right-hand column, and then you'll find the shows on the third page under the letter C for Cheryl. Click on my name, and the shows should pop up in chronological order. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.